Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Van Newell, and it is my pleasure reading God's Word to you. My wife, Sarah, and I have been members of Mountain Brook Baptist Church for 17 years, and you may see me in the contemporary service, working on the stream team in the back. We don't have to come to church. We get to come to this church, and that's kind of my attitude about attending here at MBBC. In this Advent devotional guide, we are journeying through the story of the Bible and looking at the ways we see light break through the darkness, from creation to new creation. At dawn's first light, the high priest, with the religious leaders and scholars, arranged a conference with the entire Jewish council. After tying Jesus securely, they took him out and presented him to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "If you say so." The high priest let loose a barrage of accusations. Pilate asked again, "Aren't you going to answer anything? That's quite a list of accusations." Still, he said nothing. Pilate was impressed, really impressed. It was a custom at the feast to release a prisoner, anyone the people asked for. There was one prisoner called Barabbas, locked up with the insurrectionist who had committed murder during the uprising against Rome. As the crowd came up and began to present its petition for him to release a prisoner, Pilate anticipated them. "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews to you?" Pilate knew by this time that it was through sheer spite that the high priest had turned Jesus over to him. But the high priest by then had worked up the crowd to ask for the release of Barabbas. Pilate came back. "So what do I do with this man you call King of the Jews?" They yelled, "Nail him to the cross." Pilate objected, "But for what crime?" But they yelled a little louder, "Nail him to a cross." Pilate gave the crowd what it wanted, set Barabbas free, and turned Jesus over for whipping and crucifixion. The soldiers took Jesus into the palace and called together the entire brigade. They dressed him up in purple and put a crown plaited from a thorn bush on his head. Then they began their mockery. "Bravo, King of the Jews!" They banged on his head with a club, spit on him, and knelt down in mock worship. After they had their fun, they took off the purple cape and put his own clothes back on him. Then they marched out to nail him to the cross. There was a man walking by, coming from work, Simon from Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. They made him carry Jesus' cross. The soldiers brought Jesus to Golgotha, meaning Skull Hill. They offered him a mild painkiller, but he wouldn't take it, and they nailed him to the cross. They divided up his clothes and threw dice to see who would get them. They nailed him up at 9 o'clock in the morning. The charge against him, the King of the Jews, was printed on a poster. Along with him, they crucified two criminals, one to his right, the other to his left. People passing along the road jeered, shaking their heads in mock lament. "You brag that you could tear down the temple and then rebuild in 3 days? So show us your stuff. Save yourself. If you're really God's son, come down from that cross." The high priest, along with the religious scholars, were right there mixing it up with the rest of them, having a great time poking fun at him. "He saved others, but he can't save himself. Messiah is he? King of Israel? Then let him climb down from that cross. We'll all become believers then." Even the men crucified alongside him joined in the mockery. At noon, the sky became extremely dark. The darkness lasted 3 hours. At 3 o'clock, Jesus groaned out of the depths, crying loudly, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders who heard him said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." Someone ran off, soaked a sponge in sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. But Jesus, with a loud cry, gave his last breath. At that moment, the temple curtain ripped right down the middle. When the Roman captive standing guard in front of him saw that he had quit breathing, he said, "This has to be the Son of God." There were women watching from a distance, among them Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of the younger James and Joseph, and Salome. When Jesus was in Galilee, these women followed and served him and had come up with him to Jerusalem. Late in the afternoon, since it was a day of preparation, Joseph of Arimathea, a highly respected member of the Jewish council, came. He was one who lived expectantly, on the lookout for the kingdom of God. Working up his courage, he went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate questioned whether he could be dead that soon and called for the captain to verify that he was really dead. Assured by the captain, he gave Joseph the corpse. Having already purchased a linen shroud, Joseph took him down, wrapped him in the shroud, placed him in a tomb that had been cut into the rock, and rolled a large stone across the opening. Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of Joseph, watched the burial. Thanks for listening along as we go through God's Word. Today's devotional is called The Beats of Mark's Gospel. Now, when I was in graduate school, I took a screenwriting class as an elective, where I learned about the concepts of narrative beats. This concept refers to the pulses of the heart of a story. American movies generally feature somewhere between 40 to 60 such narrative beats or scenes. Using this concept, the 15th chapter of Mark has five such beats distilled into one chapter. Jesus before Pilate, the soldiers mocking Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the burial of Jesus. Needless to say, this is a lot to reflect on for a daily devotion. Whenever directors have made a film or series based on this chapter, they inevitably expand these paragraph-length narratives because they are so rich in meaning and importance for the story of Jesus. Not only is the crucifixion central to the story of our faith and God's love for us, but the details before and after the central event that Mark recounts are fascinating because they present the complex and nuanced political, societal, and religious context of that time and place. Now, even if we are familiar with this chapter, there can often be details that we can glean. Upon rereading this chapter, I found myself reflecting on today's date, January 4th. Verse 33 notes the noon darkness that envelops the sky. Now, because today is so close to the winter solstice, we often have overcast days in early January that quickly become dark this time of year. And just as often, overcast or dark days can impact us consciously or unconsciously. Today, please pray for those we know who are going through a difficult season of life. Then take a moment sometime today to call or text someone who God has placed on your heart. I found that calling a friend or family member and having a five-minute phone call to catch up has benefited me, even though I was the one calling them. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Allow us to have opportunities today to reach out to someone that we feel we could brighten their day. And just pray that you allow us to be ambassadors of your love throughout this week as your disciples. Amen.